Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, good gloomy morning to you.
It's really gloomy. There weren't even any lights on, and I was like, am I okay?
Ooh, yeah, I know our stupid, hilarious seasonal affective disorder here in California because we're so spoiled. I don't know about you. I'll get the one gloomy day and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to put on a little sweater and curl up under a blanket. Then when it goes on day two, I'm like, somebody call the psych ward. I'm going to lose it. I need some sunshine.
I know. I feel like we're the only place with warm climates all year. I'm sure the Southwest in general that we pine for the days where we get to layer, you know, whereas the rest of the country that gets actual winter is like, go fuck yourself.
yeah. I know, but you know that you missed the four seasons when I was watching Handmaid's Tale, you know, the new season of Handmaid's Tale last night, and Nick was walking through the snowy forest, and instead of me paying attention to the actual plot line, I was just like, ooh, I miss that feeling of seeing my breath and wearing an open jacket and standing and I'm missing the whole plot.
Yeah, I know. Agreed. We might go to Seattle or Vancouver in November. And I was like, I want to be forced to wear a jacket. I don't want to do it strictly for fashion.
For funsies. That being said, welcome to Sidework Podcast. I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin.
Hi, guys. I'm your other host, Andrea Wallace. And here we are. We're still here. We're back. We're back, baby.
We're in it. It felt like I couldn't remember how to do little certain things that were very robotic to me for the past several years. I was like, I kind of forget how to upload the episode and funny shit like that. But I'm back. The crazy retrograde energy, which is still happening, by the way.
It's been a fucking week and a half. Also, last we heard on our episode, my dog OD'd on marijuana on the CBD accidentally. And then I did it. I don't know if there was an old switcheroo at the old weed factory with this tincture specifically, but I take CBD for my menstrual cramps. I take a 40-1. I have stopped eating ibuprofen like it's going out of style. Right. It's a positive thing that I'm able to control the pain with this. So my normal one that I take, I took all day, and then I got home and I was like, oh, here's this one that Indiana got into. It's just a 30-1 as opposed to a 40-1. So you really shouldn't feel high. I was like, there's some left in the bottle. I'll take a little bit of that just because I don't want it to go to waste, you know?
Sure.
So I'm making dinner and all of a sudden I'm like, uh-oh.
like it had more THC than what the bottle.
I guess I'm so sensitive. I've talked about it on the show 1,000 times about
You're a freak.
I
when
go
you get
dark.
High.
I get dark. I go. It's not for me. No. Like the 40-1s are great, but because you need a little bit of THC to activate the CBD, and that's how the science works, you know. But holy shit,
I was
chopping vegetables, and I was like, it was a race against time to not play with knives anymore. I was just like, just get the salad done. Don't cut anything with knives. Brian gets home and I was like, I'm fucked up. and then I was like, it was a bad scene. I had to go crawl into my bed. Everything grossed me out. I was like, I can't watch anything but a home makeover show and hope to God I pass out. And then I did. And I woke up 3 hours later at 11 p.m., mind you.
God. Oh no.
And I was like, okay, I'm not tripping balls off weed oil anymore. Oh my God. Hell, hell, Brooke. My hell is THC edible situations.
It's your hell. I'll tell you what, after I complained about that commercial audition, I got a call back for the worst.
Nice.
I know, right? I was like, this energy's so bad, I bet I'll get it. Anyways, so I go back in and I put my hair up in this kind of like, I just like coiffed it up in like a fun, perky bun sort of thing. And I had maybe a few more bobby pins supporting it than I would normally.
Right. Because you got to be on camera. You got to like, you know, nothing you more know. Than you know, a little extra.
Yes. I realize that my go-to look is always a little sloppy in real life and I don't care, but like I'm trying to be more mindful of how it reads on camera. So sure. Then I do a call back and I come back and I'm like, all right, I got to wash my hair, get in a bath, hair still up. And then I lay back, dunk my head. And then I'm like, all right, just going to do the thing where I loosely free the hair. And I don't even know how to begin to explain what happened to you. The plastic didn't come out. And then I think the bobby pins allowed the hair to, like, you know, like when like you're like, ugh, like you've got two ends of a string and something in the
yeah.
middle.
And no, I like, know what happened. Yeah. It's like when I told you I took my Skims bra off. And it like it wrapped around all my hair.
I created a handle on the back of my head made out of my hair. And then I was like, this is okay. Come on. Just, you know, that I kept soaking it. And I was just like, what the fuck?
Wow.
Hours upon. And you know, and two, like they're like with commercials, they're like, don't change a goddamn thing about your appearance.
Yeah, don't cut a chunk out of your hair.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm now like crowdsourcing people. I've got mayonnaise on my head. I've got deep conditioner.
It's a real Lisa Simpson moment.
It was so matted that you couldn't even get the sharp end of a rat tail comb.
Damn. To pen
it turned into this like flat angry dreadlock connecting both sides of my hair at the end, you know. And I mean, like, I started throwing shit. I broke a few things in my bathroom.
Sure, man.
I was like, this, come on, this can't be happening to me. Finally had to cut the dread down the middle.
Oh,
so
boy.
Then I just
wait.
Had,
you like performed surgery? You like cut into the thing?
I
see?
Cut into the thing, and so then I just had a really heavy chunk of matted hair flapping now on each side. Andrea, it took the entire day. I was able to comb one out with minor cutting, but a lot of hair came with it.
Oh, and man. Then
I paused. I was like, I can't lose this much hair. This is crazy. I waited for Sean to get home. This is your like, Brian, I'm fucked up. I was like, Sean, I'm fucked up. Cause like there was like oil and there were wads of hair and pliers and scissors. And he came in and there was like broken shit and the dogs were hiding. And because I was like, I can't see it. It's the back of my head. I can't see it. So I made him aggressively. I was like, just go real hard at it with a brush. It took 90 minutes of continuous brushing.
Whoa.
The other one I cut. The other one I cut into. The other one I had more patience. And just because I called our hairdresser friend, and she's like, you just got to fucking brush. You got to brush, and you have to find a patient friend who will help you. And you just fucking brush, bitch.
That's a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the
amount of
mood.
Time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a real mood ruiner.
I was like, I have a hair handle. You can pick me up by the handle on my head.
Yeah. I want our hair handles in this season. I'm a fucking cat.
Yeah. I should have gone to New York Fashion Week with my hair handles.
What's that? Oh, my God. Well, we'll just see if the hits keep on coming. We'll see if next week has some better stuff in store. I don't know. It's just been rolling with the fucked up punches is what I will say.
We have a live show in my yard tonight, too. I'm like, I wonder which neighbor's going to lose their mind and threaten us again.
Oh, my God. Oh, so good. So good. Did you have some top of show business you wanted to address today?
Oh, I just, you know, throwing in with the headlines, whatever. I'll just mention this. On the hair day
Sean's like, maybe we should just go get takeout. You're not good. And I was like, okay. Like, I was just completely engulfed with darkness.
Yeah.
And I was very hungry because I'd kind of forgotten to eat all day long while I was screaming about my hair. So we order from our favorite Vietnamese place. And we go, we're like, let's go eat it at the bar. We went to the bar. It just, I don't know what was happening. The Fable looked like a frat party. I just was like, no. I was like, I'll get into a fight if I hang out here. And so we turn and left. And then we looked and he's like, oh, one of our entrees is missing. And we were like so hungry. So we went back, we called, let them know. They were like, oh, shoot. And then it was just like, we just didn't make it. So it's going to be a little bit. And I was like, no problem. And they were like, we'll give you free stuff. I was like, you don't need to. Don't worry about it. Then came back in and they were looking at me like a wild animal, like just so scared because you can tell the PTSD these servers have been through. Mm-hmm. And again, another one came up. She's like, do you want some like iced, you know, Thai iced tea? We have Vietnamese iced coffee. I was like, no, really? I'm good. Thank you for making it. It's no big deal. And she was like, paused and she was like, thank you for being so nice.
Aww.
Just absolutely. And I was like, look, it's two of you waiting tables in a full restaurant and you're the only two running carryout. Like, because their carryout is out of control at that place. And I was like, you guys are working. I was like, please. It's totally cool. I love your food here. Yeah, I'm happy to wait for it. Right. And she like looked like she was about to cry. I was like, no, there's no sneaky Yelp review coming either. Don't worry. Like, you know.
Yeah.
We do exist out there, you know.
Yeah.
But anyways, that was just a little feel good. I took my darkness and I tried to make someone feel better.
Absolutely. It's just like, you know, there's just a lot. And I feel like just, you know, there's just a lot we can't control in this world. And I think that is just...
You are in control of your mood and your actions. Like, that's the thing that we can control is how we react to things. And I'm not going to say that throwing a bottle of scalp oil against the wall is a controlled action, but it's what needed to happen.
Well, speaking of throwing bottles, let's jump into some headlines, shall we? Shall we?
What an organic segue.
This is fresh out of the Idaho State Journal, you know, our main resource for so many headlines.
It's where we get all our news.
We scavenge, you guys. A 38-year-old woman was charged with two felony counts of aggravated assault after police say she threw beer bottles at bartenders at a local bar.
And how do we say this town? Pocatello, Idaho?
I think Pocatello. Yeah. Nice. So Pocatello police were dispatched to the First National Bar, which sounds like a bank, but
that
First
does
National
sound...
Bank Bar, in downtown Pocatello for the report of a disturbance inside of the bar. So this woman, Dye, I think is her last name. Are they saying her? Marie Dye is her whole name. Who was charged, was in the bar. She was noticed drinking out of a flask at the bar, right?
Little nipper. She had a little nipper.
It's a big no-no. Bartenders saw her, and they were like, uh-uh, you can't do that. You got to get the fuck out of here. You
got to
go.
No, she got like a one warning and then continued to nip and was not being cool at all about that, you know?
Totally. And then she was basically like, oh, is that what you think? So she took a beer bottle and she broke it over the fucking counter and then she threw it at the bartenders, you know, like they do, Brooke.
I mean,
missing them. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So then, of course, she's like, I'm fucking out of here. And they're like, you better get the fuck out of here. I love this story because it sounds like a server submitted story. That's why I like this headline. It reads a lot like a server submitted story. But yeah. So then she's heading out the door and then she grabs another bottle as she's out and like throws it again at the bartenders. So yeah. They fucking basically told the police they want to die to get trespass charges and she's
aggravated assault.
Yep.
And the thing about our friend Marie here, Stacy Marie Dye of Pocatello, she's a 38-year-old who looks like she does work at First National Bank.
I know. The girlfriend looks fucking and wasted in her mugshot.
She faded. Those eyes look like there was also maybe painkillers involved, plus the sneaky flask, plus some white rage entitlement. But that just... man, I don't know what it is with that. Like, you got to think in Idaho, how many local bars are there, you know? And if you've just been, you know, ousted from the one and only watering hole, you got to think about these things, okay, right? Once you've done bad behavior and got hit with trespassing charges, you are down to hanging out at the local Applebee's.
Well, yeah, but not only that, if she's convicted of the two felonies, she faces up to 10 years in prison and a $100,000 fine, you know?
Right, right. You know what's going to happen is she's going to plead out and agree to go to, like, Alcohol Anonymous and God knows what. Like, that's usually what happens, but, like, people.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's a lot. I'm just glad no one was hurt.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. Yep. They had a good good bouncer working the situation. You know, granted, he, like, didn't see the sneaky sort of, like, last, you know, I'm going to throw one last punch sort of thing, which was grabbing the closest beer bottle she could find and, like what? And, you know, for good measure.
And nobody tells Marita I want to do. It was that kind of day.
Maybe she just lost her job at First National Bank.
Maybe,
you know?
She did. First National Bank is also an Omaha bank. That's why it made me think of it. They're real big in the Big O. But not so much about, anyway, but good God, good God. Well, yeah, that's an old chestnut.
That's an old chestnut. Guys, are we keeping it together? Have we witnessed people who are not keeping it together? Things have just still been shaky and rough and weird.
Yeah, people's crazy.
People's be crazy.
Speaking of still shit not back to how it used to be, this next headline, Brooke, take her away.
Okay, right. As we know, we've probably discussed it in June at some point. There were rumblings of a sriracha shortage because the sriracha plant that makes this uses this one specific pepper that comes from Mexico. And because of climate change, everybody, there were just failed crops of this pepper, which exclusively sells to the sriracha plant. And if you didn't care about climate change, if nothing else that's happened the past few weeks with the floods, the fucking fires, the weird record-breaking heat waves, if it's going to be the lack of sriracha that gets you to pay attention, let that be your door in to climate change concern. Oh,
there's a restaurant in LA that was like basically like, bring us a bottle of sriracha and we'll give you your food for free.
Wow, no way. Yeah, because I mean, I was reading, like, you know, when this was happening back in mid-June, people were taking photos of other people filling up shopping carts with sriracha like a fucking psycho. All the hoarding mentality begins again. You know, people were panicking, and, you know, you've got, like, a lot of people who, as I've come to learn, I don't think they have taste buds because they're the sort of person who needs to drown every meal, like, in sriracha or hot sauce or ranch. I do now think that sriracha people are like ranch people. Oh my God.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's a time and a place. But I think hot sauce does, like, you know, it adds like a salty and umami. It brings out other flavors, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I kind of feel like, you know, that sriracha is sort of like the nation, it's sort of
it's like ketchup, you know. It's
well,
like,
it is like ketchup in that, like, I feel like it crosses borders and continents, and it finds its way onto every type of food and kind of finds a way to complement it. So
absolutely,
I get it. People who are like, this is how I lube up and force food into my throat, I need to go get a bunch. But whatever. I think people like that are big fucking babies. Anyways, little sriracha goes a long way. I get it. It's delicious. I love pho and I love Vietnamese food. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this is still bad. This is still going on. And there are already, you know, articles coming out being like, so this is real and you better start learning to like other things and adjust your taste buds.
Absolutely.
So we were just going to go over, as a friendly reminder, a few other types of hot spicy sauces that you can slather over your food to make it go down.
You know, as someone who has, I think we just got that new fridge and I have an entire hot sauce area, like little cubby on the door. Then I think I have always at most a rotating 6 different hot sauces that I like to incorporate.
Yeah.
At this point in the game with my GERD situation, hiatal hernia, gastritis, whatever's going inside my fucking belly is no hot sauce for this queen currently. She's on a hot sauce detox, that's for sure. So this article does bring me a little bit of life. Let's just start with Tabasco, because some people think that Tabasco is a basic bitch condiment as well. I think some people put it on par with a sriracha, but there's like a certain time and a place. It's like so vinegary and sharp, and it's again great on, it crosses borders on what it's good on, you know? So
it does. For me, sometimes the thing that bugs me, I realize I'm like, I'm a consistency queen. Mm-hmm. It's just a little too thin for me to really get.
I get it.
Right. Yeah. Like it does do that little supercharged vinegar acid feel. But people were also saying things like Tabasco in general, like it's not complementary to already acidic food. So that's when you need to start looking for sweeter, thicker hot sauces. If you're already eating something very like tomato based or, you know.
Totally. And I'm a Crystal girl. Like I'm
what Crystal.
Is Crystal? Crystal's not on here, but I'm just adding it. Crystal is a also like a Louisiana like style hot sauce. It's a southern hot sauce. That's gonna be a lot like a Tabasco. It's thicker. It's not as spicy. The flavors come out more. Crystal's wins for me over Tabasco.
Nice.
100%. Okay. It's like hands down the best.
I like this endorsement.
Yeah. But there's so many other ones that they have on this list too, like buffalo sauce, right? This one it's good. It's very specific for me.
It's so specific. I mean, and I immediately want it in combination with blue cheese. So it's like, it's sort of like, well, buffalo cauliflower is really good, but then of course you're always dunking it into some sort of creamy dairy-based something or other.
Absolutely.
I've never just tried it as like my hot sauce. You know what I'm saying?
No, I never have either. I mean, I'm sure that there's people that love to do the Frank's hot, you know, sauce on everything as well. It's just not for me. Like, again, it's such a specific flavor profile. I feel like it overtakes everything and thus makes it buffalo, you know?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Is it buffalo because it's got so much like Frank's in it?
I mean, possibly.
Frank's from Buffalo? We'll look at
Frank's might be from Buffalo. I mean, but it's all that's where everything was. Yeah. We'll do an origin of a hot sauce in another story.
It's some other time. Wait, can I say though, someone made the hottest hot sauce. If any of you guys are those people who like to specifically test your limits, burn your mouth, you get a body and mental high off of hot sauce. We know that there's a whole group of people that do this. Mm-hmm. Usually people with I talked about it too. It's like people who used to have former drug addictions or like dependencies on alcohol or whatever.
Yeah. You like go to a place when it's that hot, I'm sure.
Yeah. You go and you get like it stimulates your endorphins the way that maybe drugs used to, but you get this really nice, fun, borderline go to the hospital sort of high from the heat. But so we know the Carolina Reaper chili is supposedly the hottest pepper in the world, but the same creator who obviously did this hybrid pepper has grown it exclusively made up an even hotter one called Pepper X, and it's the hottest existing chili in the world, developed by accident while researching ways to fight cancer. I'm like, sign me up, baby. I'll put myself through hell if it like boosts my immune system every once in a while. But it has a 3.18 million Scoville unit, which is double the amount of the Carolina Reaper.
Good God. I'm just trying to think when you watch Hot Ones, how they have that little scale on the side and how would they even like incorporate that. We almost did the Hot Ones challenge for Brian's birthday, mind
really?
You. We were going to like invite a bunch of people over and buy the kit, and whoever wanted to do it could do it. But, you know, considering what has been happening to my stomach, it was probably not the best idea.
We all good.
I probably wouldn't be here to tell the tale is all I'm saying.
Well, if you're that kind of person, this hot sauce made out of Pepper X is called The Last Dab.
That's what they call, that's what the Hot Ones hot sauce is. That's the Hot Ones hot sauce.
That's the one. Holy shit. Okay.
Yeah. That's the one they do at the end. And then they do like the last dab and then they do. Yeah. Is it? Yeah. And they put an extra. Yeah. You should watch Hot Ones. It's great.
Okay. It seems really fun. It's also harkening back to last week's server submitted story about the hot sauce Bloody Marys, which I'm just like, oh, could you imagine a whole glass full of dab? Anyways, but let's like highlight like two more, which could be your potential new topping. Okay, so peri peri, right? Do you go? Do you fuck with peri peri?
I have in the past. It's not like a regs, you know, on rotation.
Yeah, so it's like a Portuguese. It's usually kind of like a yellowish color. It uses the African bird's eye chili. And I feel like, so it's got a little more of like a rounded out balance, like where you're going to get a little smoked paprika, cilantro, basil, lemon, garlic. I mean, that just sounds phenomenal to even like marinate your chicken in and do like a really amazing sear. There's also a hot sauce I like. You got to be careful with it. I think it's called Yellow Bird. Have you ever tried that? That one's addictive, but it is hot. And then I guess, y'all, if you really were like, I need a Vietnamese flavor, and if I can't have sriracha, you could do the Nguoc Cham, which is delish. Yes, it's a very different flavor profile, but it is very good.
Actually, this is like probably one of my favorite hot sauces of all time. Like, however, it's just basically like sweet and spicy and tangy. It's
umami.
Yeah, and funky, because there's probably like a little fish sauce.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Happening. You know, if you guys, this is like what comes with your bun that you pour all over your cold noodles when you get Vietnamese. This is like what you dip your egg rolls into. This like hits like every single, like, I mean, craving I have. Like, Vietnamese food is like, their balance of their flavors is like so on par that like, and then I'll put sriracha on something on top of that. You know what I mean?
Of course. But in the meantime, this is like, don't sleep on this sauce. Here's the thing, is like, you always feel like you never get enough. Maybe you need to find where to get a whole fucking bottle of it at home, because it would be so good on rice. It would be so good on eggs. It just is really complimentary to all meats. Oh, especially grilled meat. Oh, yum. Guys, Nguoc Cham. That is, I'm signing off. If you're not able to find sriracha, Nguoc Cham it up, baby.
Nguoc Cham.
Nguoc Cham.
Alrighty. All right, well, let's hop into this server
submitted
story.
Story. Hello, Brooke, Andrea, and Brian. I hope you're all doing well, enjoying a little bit of a summer break. Here's a little update for you and a much overdue server-submitted story, which may have taken me a couple months to write from start to finish due to lack of motivation or something like that. Hey, no judgment. As you may recall, this is from Simon Ryan's, by the way.
Hi, Simon.
As you may recall, the restaurant I work at is located within a state park. To everyone's surprise, the state park department decided to completely shut down last week, which means the restaurant is also shut down. But not only did the restaurant shut down, the marina and the cabins that we rent out also got shut down. And why is this, you ask? On July 5th, a man shot and killed another man on a property near the state park. The murderer then also mutilated the body and tried to burn it to get rid of the evidence. Then the murderer decided to hide out in the heavily wooded forest of the state park. And for some odd reason, it took 2 to 3 weeks before the authorities even started the intense search for this guy.
Wow.
I know. Fast track to September 6th, which is just like a week or so ago. A body was found in a ditch near the area of the murder, but it was decomposed beyond recognition. Within a couple of days, it was determined to be the body of the murderer. Thankfully, the restaurant was only in total shut down for 12 days, but it felt like a lot longer. We're just a small mom and pop business and don't have corporate funds to help pay employees for unexpected layoffs like this. My boss and I made many phone calls trying to get answers or guidance on some sort of relief fund since it was a government-issued shutdown. But we were given no help or resources. So my boss decided to start a GoFundMe, which she and her husband would match half of the donations. You would not believe how quickly our loyal regulars and their families donated money. And I'm not just talking about a few dollars. Multiple guests that I regularly wait on donated hundreds of dollars to help us out. Holy crap, I was in shock. This was such a wacky and unexpected situation, and it really made us appreciate and realize how kind and generous some of our regulars are. When they came in after we reopened, I personally thanked them and got a little teary-eyed each time. So the restaurant industry really is such a magical place where so many unique and meaningful relationships are made. Good tips and good health, Simon. And you know what? Fuck murderers. Wow. Fuck murderers.
Fuck down my business. For sure. Oh man. Wow. That's definitely like way to make some lemonade out of those murdered fucking mutilated lemons. Yikes, man.
Yowzers. That's always just, you know.
That's almost like a hometown murder story too.
I know we are getting into spooky season, which it's like the minute Labor Day is over. It's like pumpkins and murder. We will just take any scary crime ridden stories from you all. No doubt.
Oh, yeah. Any ghost stories, too. I mean, I'm always into it.
We're putting in the call already.
I wonder how big that state park is. And I wonder why couldn't they just have a police presence there? I don't understand why the whole restaurant had to be shut down. Is it because a murderer's on the loose and everybody's really scared, or was it just we're making the call, we're shutting her all down? It seems in the movie Jaws, they just kept the beach open the whole time after being begged to close it over and over again, you know? But yeah. Well, that was the mayor's jurisdiction.
That was the mayor. We all know that the mayor's the sheriff. Not looking out for us.
No.
Here's my thought is just possibly based on protocol, you can't risk harm of people maybe in an area where you're searching for someone at large.
Right.
And there would be a liability and so on and so forth. But yeah, because I'm like, whatever. I'm like, I'll go out to eat. Let's have a spicy night out, you know? Maybe Stacey Marie Dye will throw a bottle at our head. Maybe a murderer will come in and take us all hostage.
Absolutely.
I hate cooking and doing dishes. I mean, for it.
Anything to get, put a little bounce in my panties, you know? Which sometimes people just need that. They need a little extra. Ooh. But thank God no one was injured.
Yes, you're fine, Simon, and I'm
but
so glad.
But if they found that murderer, dead in a ditch, he obviously, got what was coming to him. You know what I mean?
When you hide in a state park without
resources
protection from the elements or whatever, yes, you're going to show up. You're
going to die.
Yep. It just is what it is.
Oh boy. Well, anyway, you guys, and always just send those server submitted stories as gruesome or spooky as possible
or
to
happy.
sideworkpod@gmail.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Today's topic, we're talking about hookups, the art of gratis, giving away things for free, Brooke.
Yeah.
To kick off our topic, oh my God, you talk about this fucking crazy story.
All right. Before we talk about the art of what is free, I thought we should discuss a headline that happened while we were dark. Let's discuss what is not free. I know you all because I know the Modern Waiter. I think Marlon and Danny covered this. This is a TikTok video that went viral. If you recall, this ramekin thief who started to show off on TikTok all of the dishes she has habitually taken from basically every place she's ever gone to eat. We'll post it. I know it's a little like it happened like a month ago and we're a little behind the curve, but I never wanted so badly to turn on the microphone and scream about it with you. So if you're just not familiar, it's just, I don't know how to put it other than it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Shocking.
And, yeah. Like, and this person starts with, like, here's all the ramekins. And, like, she just keeps piling it on, piling on. I'm talking, like, hundreds.
Like, and, like, a lot of them, like, not good ones. Like, the shitty little black round ones, which is, like, your typical side of buffalo sauce or ranch. Like the kind that would come on a wings. Like, they're just so plastic and unremarkable. I need 10 of them. Along with, then, you know, the ribbed, smaller, white porcelain ramekins. Then all of the decorative ones, like, possibly from a Japanese or Korean-style restaurant for your sauces. And then she gets into baskets and boxes full of just even like a serving dish, full on bowls, plates, where you're just sitting here going, this isn't like this isn't really about wanting a ramekin. This is about you're a klepto. And there's just
it's the hit.
It's the psychological thrill of taking something from a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. At one point, she's like, I wanted a matching set of 4 to 6 of these specific plates. Like, you know, it's like you're on a journey. And like, give me a fucking break.
Yeah. Like, and I like how she starts off the video being like, get ready. It's a lot. And it's just like, what the fuck? Here it says just piles and piles and piles of even metal sauce cups. Like, who gives a fuck about one of those?
We shows up as servers when we can't find it, when we're out.
Right, you know, and it really lit up this whole conversation with servers like on Reddit and in response to TikTok, or it got shared like as a reel on Instagram, and, you know, servers being like, hey, listen, I just work there. If I see you stealing something, I'm probably not gonna say anything, but I'm gonna be like, what the fuck, man? You know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, it does, honestly, at the end of the day, it makes the restaurant's life harder, especially poor little Brooke when she was going to work brunch shifts and all of those little metal ramekins that we use for syrup and butter just go missing or any of that shit. You're like, you're actually just making it harder for the server, even though it doesn't come out of our paycheck. I just feel like that is so psychotic.
I mean, and a lot of restaurants these days too, like, they work with little local artisans to have like the cutest, you know, ceramic hand thrown little plates. I wonder, you know, so Heath Ceramics out of San Francisco, when we were up there, like, when we were at Hog Island and we were at this really cute bar called, oh my God, why can't I think of the bar we went to above Mr. Jew's? I'll think of it, but it's super cute. But it was all the Heath Ceramics, which is like,
that's
expensive shit.
It really is.
You know that shit's getting stolen all the time. All the time.
I mean, here's like, do we all have a stray pint glass from a night out or
do
something?
Do we have like a you know, a Belgian beer glass, right?
Because
all those are so quack, whatever. Yes, that's a pain in the ass too, because you only get so many of those glasses, and then they just get stolen left and right, and then they also break easily. So you have two things working against you. So anybody who's into like fucking this type of theft, You have no idea the trickle down effect.
Yeah.
And the fucking domino effect, the fucking butterfly flapping its wings, and you have caused chaos in a restaurant for an evening.
Absolutely.
You turd.
And you are a thief.
You're a thief.
Anyways. So
I hope your fucking purse smells like ranch and buffalo all the time, you fucking dirty thief. Like, the cleaning of it is an interesting thing too. This, I'm going off a little bit, because you know for a fact, there's like, why are there like a thousand dirty napkins on this table? Or why is there ranch dressing or buffalo dressing like floating in the sink in the bathroom? It's because somebody went to go wash it out and stuff it in their purse and take it home. My God, give me a break.
Right, because God forbid you get any of your own personal items dirty, which then feeds back into this whole, like, you're creating extra garbage cleanups for us because you are a klepto. Anyways. And people were saying, like, you know, like, if you were really cool and really forthcoming and were just sort of like, do you care if I take this? Like, a server might be like, if I didn't see you do it, then, you know, but it's like, I'm just so embarrassed to even occupy that headspace. Yeah. I just was horrified. Horrified. So that's, I just thought I would start by being very on the affirmative.
Getting what is all not worked up.
Free. So let's talk about what is acceptable and the bonus for being a cool customer.
Yeah.
When you're at the kind of place who can give you that hookup, baby.
Totally. I mean, let's start with food, because, you know, I feel like we're going to move into the bar stuff and that's way more complicated.
It's different. Yeah.
Food is very specific, right? As far as like what you can comp, what you can't comp, give away for free. I feel like dessert is probably the number one given away food item at restaurants. Wouldn't you agree?
I think the cost of making it, I always really consider where I was working and whatever is the lowest food cost to make and what is usually the most left over, guess what's going to be given away for free,
right? You're going to get a piece of fucking panna cotta. You're going to get some chocolate cake. You know, and also, is it a special occasion? Is it your birthday? Is it your anniversary? What have you? That's usually why you're going to get it. Or, you know, maybe you're just a regular, which we'll talk about that a lot, you know, in this whole topic. But not everybody wants dessert. So, like, what comes next would be, like, an appetizer.
An appetizer, or, like, sometimes, because, like, God, who isn't so excited, like, if our chef was in a good mood and being like, who's here or whatever, see what you order. Especially, we'll talk about when you go into your place of employment, you know, on an off night, which I didn't do that much, but you did get employee discounts and free little goodies sent your way.
Yeah.
But a steaming, fresh out of the fryer truffle garlic parmesan french fries sent out as a little, like, that costs nothing
for a
restaurant. And we would do a little bit of that just as, like, here's something to nibble on and a, like, here's a little warm hug for your tum tum.
Yeah, totally. Like, I know you guys ordered two entrees, but here's a super delicious side that we also always make, then it's yours. And, you know, and I feel like these are ways to, like, make your customers obviously feel like they're welcome. Make your regulars feel like they're welcome. If you have friends that are coming in, you want to, like, give them a little extra, you know, love if you can. Yeah. And then, you know, the oopsies, you know, this is for, like, a manager's, like, just, like, comp their dessert, just comp their apps. Or if you have the authority to do that yourself, depending on where you're working, you should be able to manage your own fucking life. I mean, that's part of being a server, in my opinion, is you keep track of your own shit, right?
100%. And, you know, again, this is like if you're newer to serving, depending on whether you're really corporate, depending on whether it's real loosey-goosey, depending on whether you have bad owners who are running the business into the ground because they give everyone everything for free and make no profit. This is a really, like, learn as you go. Sort of, you become a veteran of learning, when is it worth it? When am I maybe being, like, a little too eager to give something free just for the sake of me getting a bigger tip? But as I got more sophisticated about it and definitely was really above board, I would go to my manager the owner / manager and be like, this table is so awesome. Can I buy them this round of wine? And she'd be like, yeah, you know, and then there'd be this, like, check. That however you guys did it too, where you would pull items off of checks to drop in the comp check so that at the end of the night you just kind of went through it, everything was approved, she just zeroed everything out so it doesn't look like the register's short or whatever. But, like, yeah, I think there used to be, like, I'd sneak something and not feel great about it. And then when I was just like, I'm just going to communicate like an adult and say this table is really rad and I'd like to do something for them.
Right. And that's what it all comes down to, is that, like, unless you are the owner, like, you should go by the house rules. Like, this is not your house. This is their house. And whatever the rules are, that's what you should follow. And yes, have we all been guilty of breaking those rules? 100%, you know? But I feel like, look, if I'm not going to charge you for a fucking extra side of ranch if it's that kind of place, if I like you. I'm not going to, you know, little things like that, right?
What if at the end of the meal, I was like, hey, guys, you guys were really a pleasure to serve tonight. Here's some empty ramekins.
Yeah, here's some empty. Here, take as many as you like.
Take this plate. Just take the empty plate.
That dirty. That's another thing. Fucking linen napkins. That dirty linen napkin in your lap. You take it home. It's on me. You guys take that.
Huh? You guys want a few roll ups for the road?
Yeah. I noticed you eyeing our sugar caddy. Just take it. Take it. What are you going to do with it at home? What kind of weird thing are you going to do with that?
Yeah, I don't want to know.
Just going to go home and sit in your kitchen cupboard for 20 years before you're finally like, what was the, you know, it's because we all know
why do I have this?
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's right. And so the art of free things too is like, as a server, that's a big deal. And as a customer, usually what happens, how you can expect to get free things is either by being a really cool customer, mm-hmm. or if you were cool about a mistake that happened, or mm-hmm. if you're a terrorist who starts to have a meltdown over something going wrong and you know that you're going to threaten certain things and it's your whole plot in life is to go mm-hmm. be a monster so you can get things for free. That's absolutely a grifter. Right. That's the grifter version.
That is
of
for sure the grift. If you carry broken glass in a Ziploc yes. on your purse at all times, you might be a grifter.
You might be a grifter. Right. If you carry a bag of human hair with you everywhere,
but
you might be
a
grifter.
Your, you know, entree being forgotten at dinner the other night and the staff bending over backwards to be like, throw free shit at you. To be like, right. What can we do? And you're good.
To be honest, like I didn't want a Vietnamese coffee at 9 at night. I was a little bit like, if you didn't want to charge me for this $10 noodle dish, that's sure. cool. But I also was like, I think if they had that ability, they would have. And it didn't seem like something they could do. So I was just like, no big deal.
Absolutely.
I can afford my food. It's all good.
Yeah. And food is one thing, but like, I feel like we're going to lean much toward alcohol and being at a bar for this episode more than anything, because I feel like that is where, you know, the drinks on the house, you know, and I feel like as bartenders, there's a looming pressure, like, you know, maybe, you know, yes or no, on like what you should and shouldn't do as far as like giving drinks on the house. Like, I think there's tons of levels to it. And like we said before, what are the house rules? We talked about, is there a program that allows for free drinks? I mean, I think as, you know, restaurant owners, people expect to be giving things away for free. That's part of the game, you know? You basically could have comp tabs put in place, like you said, whether it's like the whole house for the night or bartenders are given a set amount that they can give out per shift. Mm-hmm. But depending on who your owner is, like, you either have someone who's watching every single drop of alcohol, from like how much head is on a beer to like perfect pours of alcohol, and keeping track of every single dollar they spend on that booze.
Or they put all
the
stoppers.
Complete opposite, where they're just like, I don't fucking care.
They're usually
like
alcoholics. those kind of owners are usually good time Garys who are wearing a Hawaiian shirt and have a lei around them and are like, my restaurant is my party every night.
That's for sure. And I feel like with that mentality, it's just kind of like you follow the lead, right?
Right.
You either follow the rules or you don't follow the rules. Now, I think there's a lot to be said about being a good bartender and not giving everything away for free, and just knowing, like you said, like feeling it out and like knowing when you should be giving away drinks for free. A birthday, sure. Oh, you got a job promotion? Awesome. Your first round's on us tonight, you know? Or like, I got this next round. Or, you know.
We all know the term buyback, you know? And that is a philosophy that is very much employed with certain bars and bartenders who, if you've never experienced one, you're probably A, not a regular, or B, not cool and don't bother to have rapport with bartenders.
Yeah.
That's a buyback situation is like when you are the kind of person who sits at the bar and then hangs with the bartender.
Absolutely. I think it's like if you're the one that sits there and drinks all night, it's like getting points on your credit card, right? You like get to cash in, and every once in a while you get that shot glass put in front of you, which is such a fun move, right?
Right.
To get that, like, this is your next drink. You just cash in this little shot glass or turn it over when you're ready. What is the etiquette? You just are like, I'm ready for my free drink. I feel like those are the incentives, right? But there's also there was spill and waste sheets too that some bars also make you keep track of, where it's like any drink that was a mistake, anything that got knocked over in the night, you have to also keep track of. Again, coming down to having very strict owners and just trying to keep track of costs and where everything is going.
Right.
So if you happen to be like sitting at the bar and they're like, hey, someone ordered this Manhattan and like it was a mistake, do you want it? You know, some, I mean, I maybe still would do it depending on what it is. But, you know, me in my 20s, I'd just be like, you know, Brooke used to call me a fucking garbage, a dump truck, basically, because I would put anything in my body.
A drink dumpster.
Yeah. So I would be like, oh, yeah, no one's going to drink that. I'll take it, you know. People are happy about things like that.
I know. I would. My favorite thing, too, is this just happened like a few weeks ago. Went to the Fable. Meg, who works behind the bar, she's lovely. I was like, it was really loud. And so I was like, hey, what's up, troublemaker? And then she just goes to make a drink. And I was like, oh, crazy. She knows that I want like a Makers and Diet, and then gives me a glass of red wine. And I was just like, oh, I wanted a Makers and Diet. And she goes, oh, we have a red wine called Troublemaker. And I was like, what? I was like, no, I called
you. You're like, what's up, Troublemaker?
Yeah. Like, I was like, that's the rudest way to order something. And then she started laughing and she's like, I'll drink it. And then, you know, she was toward the end of her shift. And so she was like, down the hatch, no problem. But I had called her Troublemaker. And because what am I, a 50-year-old grandpa? Anyways, but... Anyways, that was a really fun, but she was like, whoops, I'll drink it. You know, and then you have the bartenders who don't give it away. They're like, this is mine.
Yeah, no, for sure. They're like, maybe in a bit, but yeah, I'll drink this like top shelf thing that got ordered by myself later. Thank you very much. I think another reason to give away free drinks is to keep people coming back to the bar.
100%. So, we talk about how you create regulars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, your rewards program, if you will. You know, if there's two bars that are like very similar and they're both very cool bars that play good music and you feel really comfortable there, and at the end of the night, someone's like, you're great. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate your service. Here's a cocktail on us. And the other one doesn't. Like, which bar are you most likely going to go back to and spend your money at?
Yeah. Where do you feel a warm, fuzzy feeling? Like, mm-hmm. these people think I'm cool. You know, because you go to the bars where you're just like, nothing. I just cannot get a single bartender here to be friendly, personable, to recognize my face. It's all good. You do want to go where everybody knows your name, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It feels wonderful. And yes, as a bartender, this is a fantastic strategy to up your tips.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true, because a hookup does mean a bigger tip in a lot of ways. You know, I feel like, and of course you would, why wouldn't you, you know, just to be like, or at least tip on the original amount of like what the check would be. But I would exactly. always be like, oh, here, yeah, here's a little extra something, something for you. Scratch my back. You scratch, you know, I feel like people just, they, you should be in the know. And if you're not, don't give people like that free drinks.
Right, exactly.
You learn your lesson pretty quickly on like who gets it and who doesn't get it, right?
Right. And I think too, we all like go like, well, at the end of the day, is the establishment the one losing out? Is it theft from them because I'm giving away something that I don't personally buy to make more money to go into my pocket? But like mm-hmm. we said, there is, especially in the bar culture, so we all know the markup is through the roof.
Through the roof.
If they don't have a staff that is like, you know, just trigger happy with, you know, giving everything away, if they're not the staff that also drinks a bar out of house and home, you're still going to make a shit ton of money. So as long as all those other pieces are in play, I think it is understood in a bar that some free drinks are going to get given away mm-hmm. every night, whether the staff is drinking it for their staff drink afterwards, or, you know, you do a mixture of both. Like, hey, we always give a little something to cool customers and regulars, so on and so forth. And it's baked into the budget. And that's absolutely. The kind of bar I like hanging out at. You
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. And I think it's just, it, you know, and when it comes to be kind of expected that like, this is our rapport and be like, no matter what, someone like always knowing they're going to get a free drink is like so appreciated. And everybody is just so much more happy. No bottles will be thrown tonight at that bar.
Definitely not, you know, because I also really like hanging out at TG's. And this is, you know, maybe 6 weeks ago or something, too, where Sean and I went kind of, I think, the one bartender, her name was JJ. She's really sweet. Shout out JJ. I think she had a slammed happy hour. She was alone. Mm-hmm. And so by the time we came up to her, she was like, oh, you know, and we were like, we are going to be so easy. Once again, we're like two ingredient, like a beer and one mixed drink. That's all we want. We got mm-hmm. your back. Mm-hmm. And so we were really sweet again when we came back and we were just talking and chilling. We're like, how's the night going? Blah, blah, blah. Next week, she made us the two stiffest drinks I've ever had in my life and didn't charge us. She's like, these ones are on me. Thanks for being so great. Fucking cool. And you're like, wow, we went home way more wasted than planned, but also with the warm, fuzzy feelings of like, we were just cool and talked to her like a human. And also we're like, we're easy, you know?
Absolutely. And that's a really specific bar where it's like, it's so easy to get impatient and I'm not, they're great. I love that bar. I think it's awesome. The back patio is wonderful. I'm so glad they have mm-hmm. it, but it like, it triples the amount of seating that they originally had in the bar.
Yeah.
And it just makes it really hard to, I don't know. Sometimes I'm confused at the staffing, like,
yes.
And, but I'm still going back, obviously, you know, it just is, you're just kind of like, oh, I'm just waiting, whatever. It's fine. Everybody is good. But this is just the world we live in now too. So yeah. Yeah. Now Friends is probably like the main thing I want to talk
kind
about.
Of closing out on this, you know, this is the one where it gets, especially when the owners know these are your friends.
Totally. Because you want your friends to come into the bar, right? But you can't fucking give everything away for free. No. And look, we've all been there where we've just been like, whatever. You probably drink $100 worth of alcohol and then you have to pay $20 at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. You know, like it works. People, I mean, bar owners have done that to me even. Like mm-hmm. even at the, you know, like the Long Room, like I would drink all night.
Right.
Oh, and they would be like, just give me $20. And then you give them $40. And they're like, look at you, you big spender. You know, it's a friend's thing. But like, I feel like this is where there has to be like a line drawn in the sand, right? To be like, look, I'm working. This is my job. You guys don't get to come in here and drink for free and right. take up my bar space where like other people could be, right. or you have the friends that are totally get it. And like, you're gonna pay and right. You're gonna tip me more, you know?
Right. Right. And you know, which friends those are. It's just like, you don't want like the poor orphan friend to always be showing up where you're like, come on, dude, you're killing me. Like, first of all, I know I'm not going to get a good tip out of you because you're fucking broke all the time. You're literally coming here for free lunch and you're putting me in a weird position.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And is it fun when your friends come in and you're at work? 100%. It was like the highlight when my friends would come in mm-hmm. when I was bartending, because it just meant my bar was full. I could play loud music. Everybody else had a good time. But again, you have to be able to make these decisions as a bartender. Like, what are the fucking rules? Like, don't break them too much. Don't be an asshole. Like, because it, at the end of the day, it's theft. You
right.
know,
it is.
And that, and you could be judged for it and someone could, you know, like you could get in trouble, right?
You get in trouble. You can. Well, because it's like we would have a manager who knew what was going on. Like Matt would probably be like, all right, don't just give, like they came to know our friends.
Right.
And so you'd get a little bit of like a, don't get these motherfuckers drunk on my dime tonight. You know, so and so, like he would almost in advance be like, they can each have one free. End of convo, you know, and you're like, yes, sir. And you know that you're being, you know, that like your group of friends and the transaction between you and them, you're actually being watched a little harder than with a stranger mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. And it's fickle because like even I'm having like flashbacks to like people
mad.
Not being happy
yeah.
or being
yeah.
mad, where it's like you're a work, you work at the bar and you bring all your friends in and you fucking drink all night long. And a bunch of shit. And I'm like, I hand you a bill and you're pissed off that I'm even charging you and four friends anything.
Right.
To
that's,
like, you know,
so, that's a real big assumption.
It's such a big assumption, and it sucks. It's just be like, this is a business. You just don't get to, this isn't your, like you said before, it isn't your playground. Although that specific place, Brooke, that we worked at,
it was our playground.
It was a playground.
It was, yes. I've had a couple jobs.
Was like, I'm here to make money for you and me, you know.
That place stayed in business for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's because, you know, you're giving away tap beer, not steaks, you know, stuff like that. So I think just no. I mean, I've been wanting to talk about this for a minute. I thought it was like a really fun topic to conquer because it is just this thing we've never talked about, you know, fully and dissected. And it's just, yeah, just be cool. Everybody just be cool, I think is the moral of this topic, right?
Be delighted. Don't go in expecting, you know,
that's for sure. And don't expect, like, as I think an employee, like, people can fucking pay money. That's why they go out, and that, like, you are worth like what you charge. And I know at this stage in the game, it's hard because cocktails are $20 and because food prices are ever increasing with inflation. But it's like, there's a reason why that is put in place. And that is because, like, everything's fucking expensive and people are getting paid a living wage. And it all are all these little numbers that help restaurants and bars hang on by a thread. Yeah. A thread. Yeah. You know? And
they're They're not crushing it by having that $17 cocktail necessarily.
Not at all. So I just feel like it's, you know, it's easy to feel the pressure for people to give away shit for free, but just you need to decide, like, as a bartender or server, like, what's best for you, you know? Mm-hmm. For sure.
Amen.
Amen.
Good stuff. Still got it.
Still got it, guys. We still are powering through. But yeah, like we said before, you guys, server submitted stories, sideworkpod@gmail.com. Other than that, Brooke, we're wrapped up. We're ready to roll. You know what we say at the end of every episode.
Yeah, Godspeed.
Good tips.
Talk to you next week. Thank you.